Welcome into game day. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours as we get set for puck drop game two between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers. I was downtown early this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Bumped into our Luke Fox, who was on his way to the rink for the morning skate. He'll join us in about 40 minutes.
Nice.
And got to hang out with IBM today.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Thanks to Kerry, who looked after me, MLSC people, and Real Sports. That's where the where I was this morning. And
very cool.
Saw the chef, Chef Chris.
Oh, yeah. I was there on Saturday night, too.
Oh, he told me all about it.
What did
he
I didn't
you,
see him.
You ate like you were going to the chair.
I did. Pretty much any time I go out, I do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Good thing I ride my bike a lot.
The one common theme was the vibe down there.
Okay.
And they were getting prepped for the pit there with all those fans.
The mosh pit.
The mosh pit. I tell you what, like, I'm old, but wouldn't mind just taking a look at it just to get the vibe.
Getting into Maple Leaf Square for a minute?
I wouldn't last 30 seconds. I'm being like, can I get a folding chair, please?
I feel that way about concert venues, too. It's like, can I sit? Then I'll go.
I think it's funny, like, they've made it a lot smaller down there now, like, because I think there's maybe probably some zoning issues with, you know, 100,000 people descending into that little area down there. But I do love that shot that we have now. Every time the Leafs score a big goal or whatever's happened over the past few years, them flashing it out to there.
Touch the real fans willing to stand outside.
Listen, there's some real fans inside, too.
There's lots of real fans inside, but there's only real fans outside.
And it's really,
no exception.
And I just, you know, the social media from the Leafs have been doing a good job, and they put out like a thing on Instagram of like the rainy night where all the people out there, and they did like a like film shots of all these people just out there celebrating. I'm like, God, to be young, first of all,
yeah.
And like just the care is incredible. So
it's
good
awesome.
For them.
Very cool.
Yep.
Before we get into the finer details of tonight's game, does any one of you guys have a Band-Aid?
What happened?
What's going on?
I don't know. I'm just...
Oh, my God.
I have no idea. I'm looking down at my lineup, and there's blood all over it.
I don't think I do, pal.
Was Sam Bennett in here? What happened?
I have no idea.
I had a coffee.
I don't know if I cut myself on the lid or what, but...
Wait, we need to zoom in
doctor,
on... We need
doctor,
to,
doctor.
I need a doctor.
I got Kleenex for you to hold on.
Jake, we need to zoom in on that.
It's never happened before.
Here.
Thanks, man.
Just hold that.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Okay,
apply
we're good.
Some pressure to the wound.
Back to our regularly scheduled program. I'm okay.
Flex Seal.
I'm all right.
Flex Seal.
You know, I mean, I would bleed for this show. You know that, right?
I mean, hasn't stopped you. You're ready to get right back into the fight.
All right.
Over 4 years, there's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, brother.
Well, we can add blood. I don't know. Actually, my nose did bleed on the show the one time, so we have put some blood into it.
We got a Stolarz update, Sammy.
Yeah.
No real surprise on what we're hearing. What did we get out of the clip today, Sammy?
Just play it. All right. Clip one.
Craig Berube.
Recovering. You know, he's just recovering. So he's doing well. Murray's a backup.
A timeline on Anthony?
I don't.
There you go. There's your update.
I don't.
Murray's the backup. That's the update out of that.
Matt Murray could be in a playoff game for the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2025 at some point.
All indications are that he is recovering. He feels better. They'd look like idiots if they played him tonight.
I think that's fair. So that's encouraging to hear you say that. So you're implying you think he maybe could, but they'll give him a game.
If it was a game seven, they'd have to make a very hard decision. They're not at that place, and they need to give him time to kind of catch his breath.
Yeah,
that's Joseph Woll stepping in right now.
So you think if the stakes were higher, and I guess game two, second round is pretty high stakes, but you think that. After a guy gets bonked in the head and pukes on the bench, and like you think he's
maybe
not
he's
as
not
hurt,
concussed.
You know, Sammy
he's probably concussed.
I'm just asking.
Teams are very careful on what they leak or how it's presented. No one's used the C word, concussion. Mm-hmm. No one's implied that it's
true.
A concussion.
Except for me, so who doesn't know anything.
Whatever the case is, I believe if they felt like it was a must win, and I believe if they thought that Stolarz could give them the best shot at winning, they'd find a way to play him. But they're up 1-0. I've gone on a couple of occasions and said, think about Joseph Woll even prior to him getting bonked in the head. You can't present two goalies like they have all season long and just not feel like Joseph Woll can come in here and get the job done. You have to lean on the message that you've sent all season long, and this fits right into it.
We have full faith in this other guy. You know, they were probably 55-45% on which guy was going to start game one anyway. So yeah, you get a chance to get Woll in, no big deal.
We can move on from this, but I would say it's pretty encouraging that I did think, you know, people asking about the Stolarz thing, what do you think about Stolarz? And multiple blows to the head, guy pukes on the bench, leaves the game, stretcher talk, ambulance talk, hospital talk. They're like, I was telling people, would you think you'd see him again for the playoffs? It felt like a pretty serious situation. So it's encouraging to hear that there's potential.
I think the danger with the throwing up was that something else could be going on. I'm not sure.
That's shellfish? What are you talking about here?
I didn't, when I suffered a concussion, my career ender, I didn't experience a lot of throwing up.
No.
But there's some that believe that might be an early sign of maybe potentially a brain bleed.
Oh.
So
that's
the I get the being overcautious here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So absolutely.
Totally understand. Now, he was also released, I think, a few hours later. So it's not like you spent the night. It's not like we're going to run a series of tests. You're not going through an MRI or a CAT scan, at least as far as I know. Maybe it did happen to without my understanding or knowledge of it, and that's okay too, but I don't think that's the case here. So outside of that, feel better. Plenty of liquids, the good kind.
Yeah.
And get yourself ready, and we'll watch Joseph Woll. Does he come up with a solid game? Does he find a way to win this game tonight and then present a question about a game three?
Well,
starter?
You would love to have that conversation. I think it's important to, before we get too far into this show, to just state the position that I have and that McKee has, and we haven't gotten to you yet. But Sam, how do you feel about tonight?
Sometimes off-air thoughts, and I don't want to trickle on there, but I'll trickle them on here. I would be surprised at a Toronto Maple Leafs victory tonight.
Yeah.
I think this is a back against the wall. Not back against the wall. That's going to be too much. But, like, you lose the first game. They're not great for a part of that game. This is the championship effort tonight out of the Florida Panthers. That's how I'm feeling, at least, heading into it.
And I think you're getting a really good Panthers game. You know, that first game, they didn't come out with any sort of anything.
Oh, they were sleepy.
Sleepy. And so I think these guys have won the cup. They have been to the cup final 2 years in a row. They know what it takes. You're getting an effort out of the Cats tonight.
Yeah.
And so I think it's basically a Joseph Woll or bust game. He's either great or they lose. That's my. That's what I think is going to happen tonight. Are we way off, Kip, in the vibe?
No, for sure. I'm with you all the way with a better Florida team, one that will present with much more urgency than the first 40 minutes that we saw in game one.
Yeah.
But I also kind of flip it outside of Joseph Woll. If you're the Leaf team here and you've got so much more still to give here.
That's
and
true.
I didn't feel like they have yet to really present a great 60 minutes of hockey. I think they're due for a really good game top to bottom, and I don't know if it's tonight or not.
The Leafs?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, they were really good for 56 minutes of that game.
They've also been a team that's gotten a few bounces. Like, it's kind of going their way here, but I'm not suggesting that will stop, But what I am saying is that they should feel like somewhat fortunate to be in the position of being up 1-0.
They earned that last game.
For 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But they also got some good bounces. The Tanev goal, like, that was a goal you just couldn't find in the playoffs in years past. Mm-hmm. They're getting breaks here. My point is that I think they must feel like we have still yet to present as a really top-to-bottom, great effort, great start to finish, attention to detail. Don't lack energy in certain portions of the game. I think that there's a game coming for them in that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I know, you know, last game.
Think about what 2-0 does for you.
Oh, I know. And that's, you know, the other team has a say too. You rarely get, you're good from the start, you're good till the end. Like, I don't think that happens very often. But to your point, they are where they are, and Matthews and Marner haven't taken over a game, really. You know, they haven't had a game where they're the best group on the ice. And that not just can happen, that will happen.
It does feel differently with them, too, as well. And I think in the past, we can sit there and just say, okay, if they're on the score sheet, great, we leave them alone. If not, they're their first targets, right? But, hey, Barkov and Reinhardt didn't look that great. And I think it was Matthews and Marner that had a big...
Sure, they outscored them. Right? They outpossessed them. They out everything. They were better than that line.
Better than that line, which had a
good
big effect on the game.
Yep.
And again,
you feel that for sure.
Yeah.
Once again, though, like, you know, Craig Berube, when it comes to Matthews and Marner, I get the sense that I want defense first. I know if push comes to shove and they're down a few goals, they'll open it up and they'll present more of an offensive threat. But right now, they're in the wheelhouse and. Couple of good early leads mm-hmm. helped the Ottawa Senators series out big time because now you're not pressing. Game one, same thing.
Yeah.
You got your big lead. These guys are in a defense first mode and they don't need to push mm-hmm. like that. I don't know what a 2-0 feel what a 2-0 lead does tonight for them and how they feel. But if you're not chasing it, then Matthews seems to be comfortable enough to play solid defense, win face-offs without looking like he's lighting up the score sheet.
I will take what I said, and I agree with you, and I'll change my opinion on that. I agree that they did a great job against the other team's top line, which is a very good top line.
But they don't get enough credit, in my opinion, for that because
right.
people are too busy going... Where's the offense?
So what I was going to will add to what I said, though, is Matthews isn't going to shoot 4.2% forever. That's what he shot the last 17 games. He's not going to, you know, he had 11 shot attempts last game. They're going to have a game or two games or whatever where they do shoot it in the net, where they get a few more breaks, and they're a little more validated on the stat sheet for a great game. But they were good last game. That's a good point.
I just to go back to your 60-minute thing, like, you're at the point of the playoffs, Kipper, where you're not – you're not going to get to do that. Like, it's not like you're playing on a Tuesday night against the, I don't know, pick a crappy team, against the Philadelphia Flyers. No. Like he said, Panthers get to play too, and they're going to dictate terms too. Like, they are the defending, they may be the best team left that you're playing against. So, like, it's going to be really hard.
I know that. But the whole idea for me is when those lapses happen and if you can minimize them and – the whole idea is that you finish really strong, and I don't know of a better example of playoff hockey than the Edmonton Oilers again last night. Where,
oh my God, they're so good.
Like, they got off to a tough start, but then it was like foot on the pedal, and they were relentless and never looked back.
Five straight comeback wins for the
right?
Oilers.
Like that to me is a look that kind of buries a slow start for the Leafs. It's almost the opposite. Where it's like they gotta find a way to kind of hang on sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're due for a game that it doesn't look like that, Sammy.
And we know how it goes when they go down early at Scotiabank Arena. We know how it feels there.
Like, you're more likely to have that game on the road than at home, where at home everyone just goes,
uh-oh. Like, they start feeling, so.
Yeah.
You know, the good starts have been good, so hopefully they can go
I'm just going to say that's I think we have a shape for how we all expect it to go. Should we run through some of these clips now? And first one I want to hear is on the decor adjusting to wall. Do they play any different?
Yes, kind of. Because it's like, yeah, we'll play the clip. We can talk about that.
Right. Yeah, it's different, obviously, with each goalie. But I don't think it's a lot of adjustments that need to be made. I think with a goalie playing a puck, there's certain things that we're going to do a little differently with wool in there instead of Stolarz.
Like not let him play it?
Correct. Because we've seen throughout the playoffs here, fellas, the quick ups from Stolarz, and when he gets a chance to play the puck, he's really good at it. And when Wall goes out to play the puck, he gives me James Reimer vibes.
That bad?
And he likes to do it, and I hate when he does it. And I know a lot of Leaf fans probably feel the same way. I don't think he's good at playing the puck.
Hiccup he had this year.
No, it's Kipper, it's not just that.
I don't know, but that's the one we remember.
I watched the Leafs every
single game. What
game
was that? Do you remember?
I know it happened towards the end of the year.
Yeah. I watch him every single night. He just has moments where he tries to play it a little bit, and they're going to have to play differently with that. So that was kind of what they're alluding to in that clip.
I am curious to get to some Paul Maurice stuff.
Okay, then let's not waste any time then.
Okay.
And figure out what the Leafs do with Sam Bennett tonight. Let's start there.
I'm in. Maurice on Bennett, clip 3.
Paul, I'm not sure if the Leafs will be giving Bennett any extra treatment.
Who?
Sam Bennett? Sam Bennett? Have you been asked about him?
Masters.
Anyway, not sure if the Leafs will give him any extra attention, but the fans will probably be on him.
Are they bringing their skates?
You never know in Toronto. But, this is not unfamiliar territory for him to be in the spotlight like this. What have you learned about how he responds, how he's comfortable, or what you noticed about him in this spot?
He's our leading scoring forward, and he'll play an honest, hard game the way he always does. I don't think he hasn't in the past, and there hasn't been, believe it or not, that many. Oh, don't be funny, Paul. It hasn't been that many situations. He'll be fine. And I appreciate the concern. I felt that.
Wanted to check concern.
He's fine. Yeah. I think he's going to be okay.
He made sure to throw the word in, honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a really honest player. Yeah.
Sure, Kevin.
What is he's I'll our leading scorer? What do you mean? He's just not.
I'll show you a thread on Twitter if you want there, Paul. Yeah. Really honest thread.
I do believe that it's important that the Leafs do not kind of veer off the focus. And I have no doubt in my mind that I don't expect anything out of the Leafs outside of the ordinary on a Craig Berube team that, continues to pound the message of, nothing between the whistles.
Let me do what Berube's going to say to the team, which is, we're gonna stay hard on them. You get a chance to put a lick on them. We want to finish our checks hard, but we want to keep it between the whistles here, not play into his game.
Just do your job.
I mean, I just don't want our show to be the Bennett show. I don't want
but
to just have to.
The Panthers. It's the
I
Bennett
know,
show.
But I just I went on with Gunner and Ben today. All they wanted to talk about was Sam Bennett. I went on in Calgary with our buddy George Rosick. All they want to talk about is Sam Bennett. Bennett. The Leafs are up in the series. They played their best game. And it's like we talked about it for 25 minutes yesterday. Mm-hmm. Bennett. How about the Leafs? It drives me crazy.
Dude.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Paul Maurice making his jokes up there, like, oh, yeah, with George Carlin out there. It's like, good Lord, man.
I'm downtown, and I had strangers coming up to me and go, what are we going to do about Sam Bennett?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but it's...
Walking down here, I had that chat with someone.
It's a major focus.
And Paul Maurice is in my kitchen, boys. He's living rent-free, slamming my cupboards. Sick of it already.
We can see it.
It's game two. I can't stand
him. The victim. He's not paying rent.
Anyways.
But we expect the same similar look out of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's a little bit an extension of what I was talking about with Austin Matthews. If he's scoring or not scoring, if you're chasing Ben and not chasing, they know how to play and win, enough this year and what it looks like and how it feels. It would be very uncharacteristic of this team to start chasing around Sam Bennett.
The one point you've made in the past is that, you know, you kind of have to wait for situations to present themselves. You have to play free and take the game as it comes and try to dictate it at the time. You can't go out there with a plan.
No.
Like, oh, I'm going to get him in this corner, no. And when I do, you can't have a plan. You have to go play the game as it comes, take some chances when they're available to you. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't see it being a whole target
Craig
guy.
Craig Berube hockey
sort of thing.
I much prefer the Bobrovsky shot to the Bennett shot. Like, if you get your chance to, like you said yesterday, blow a shoe.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a chance to trip over your phantom stick. That's what I'm...
You can go into the net that hard. Yeah, look at the... Like, I wouldn't want Bobby McMahon coming, Holmberg coming, Nyes coming, charging hard.
Panthers gave up 5 5-on-5 goals last game, which I don't think they had done maybe once or twice all season long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, part of the conversation we maybe haven't had is, you know, getting to Bob, and I know he made some saves at the end, but they did get to him. That doesn't happen often, so we'll see if he's a little shaky.
Little bit of strength coming in from the back end on the blue line where Ekblad returns after a 2-game playoff suspension, which gives them a different look. He'll go back on the number one pair with Forsling, and that'll push Seth Jones down to 3-4.
Yeah, I've heard Ekblad's at full strength.
Let's play George Carlin, a.k.a. Maurice, clip 5, please, on Ekblad's full season.
The layoff and everything.
Really, yeah. So you can look at it. First of all, the quality of his play this year was really high. We thought he was very good. And
wonder why.
It had followed, I'm not going to say development, just the path over the last 3 years of him growing in the role. So his game was really good, and then you're out, but you're not injured. I mean, that just hardly ever happens. And then he's alone, he's isolated, he can't really talk to anybody. If there's the positive, and we'll take it, he's really in good shape right now. He's as fit. That man's as fit as he has ever been in his life. And now we get him back. We'd like to keep him for more than a couple games.
I can't do this.
So we'll take it now. We've survived it, I would say, without him, because we missed him. And he's a big part of what we do. And it was also that you're looking toward the end of the year to build that group as a feel.
He's fit.
He's fit as a fiddle. He's never been stronger.
Good. Go run a marathon.
He's never been in better shape in his life. What an incredible thing to say after your guy gets suspended for PEDs.
I'm going to have to get an intern to cut the clips of this guy, man.
He's as fit. That man's as fit as he has ever been in his life.
I bet he is. I bet.
He has been at Popeye's sampling the goods.
Oh,
anywho, anyway. Lots of spinach.
But it's a big...
Two games in 2.5 months, right?
Yeah.
He should feel...
Yeah, he's just doing
pretty
pull-ups,
energetic.
Waiting. He looks like 50 Cent in the club video.
That's funny. In that... what game was it he scored... Was it the elimination game for them? The one where he elbowed
game 5.
He scored twice in that.
Yeah, one
disallowed. Then he scored. Did he score the tying or the winner? He was everywhere.
Yeah,
in that
he
game.
Was.
He's really good.
He's the winner.
And that man's as fit as he has ever been in his life.
Haunt me.
We have another one on him. Is that also?
It just kind of talks about how they slot in better. That one's a better clip, so we're good.
All right.
So yeah.
Power play, 0-for-5.
Yeah. What'd you think of it? Yeah, think it was bad?
The issues I have is when they need to come 200 feet back in.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Sometimes it's Matthew. Sometimes it's Willie. I don't think Mitch does it too often. But
he does it seems, the best of them when he does it.
Seems to be an issue. Then let him do it then more.
Yeah.
Or all of the time.
He doesn't do the backhand chip that makes me insane.
But... It's still dangerous enough that I think Florida should really look at being a lot more disciplined tonight and some of the penalties that they took. Mm-hmm. And that should back them off a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a good synopsis. Berube gave a good synopsis of what he saw in game 1 from the power play. So let's listen to the coach. Clip.
How aggressive their PK is, and they do a real good job of it, but there was a lot of areas where we had opportunities off quick strikes and we just didn't execute them. And that's, we got to execute better on those plays, in my opinion. Whether it was didn't get the shot off quick enough or just missed the play a little bit or, just got tipped or whatever, but when you have an aggressive PK like that, you know, obviously quick puck movement and shots to the net are important, getting them through. But for me, it's off these broken plays and when they're pressing with three, we got to make these quick strike plays. And we had opportunities when we didn't execute on them.
I like that when he says when they're pressing with three. And sometimes when you bobble a puck, Florida will send three. Yeah. And that's when you need to be able to slip one into the bumper or slip one, you know, find a spot. So,
and that's probably when we look back at game one, why we were all frustrated by them going to Morgan Riley. But they go to Morgan Riley on that power play late in the third period when they're up a goal. And that's probably that exact reason where they get they send the three. They're worried about the five forward thing. Like that's the justification for it.
A little bit of a cringe factor was the too many men on the ice.
Yeah, what happened there?
I think the guys talked about it a little bit on Hockey Night in Canada, but you got five forwards, right?
Yeah.
And someone thought, two guys maybe thought they had the same guy. I mean, that's the only thing that I was able to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was ugly, and then they scored on that too. Killed the power play that was looking good, and then they scored. You always get scored on that one.
And
it just feels like.
Just seconds before that, like, what made it even worse, the too many men, is that you have the puck behind the net and you are in full control.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me made it even worse.
Yeah.
It's not like the other team's got the puck and they're shooting it towards your bench and it catches somebody and you're caught. This is you in full control.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
Not good. But they did try to make a change at the 1 minute mark, which I thought showed good discipline and getting everybody involved and not overstaying on a whole 2 minute power play and freezing out the B team.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the good part. The too many men sucked.
You know, there's a couple different ways to do changes on the power play. And one of it is to take by position in the ozone setup. And the other is based on the position of the breakout. And I do wonder if those got crossed because they weren't set up. Anyway, not sure how that ended up happening in the first place.
All right. It came to my attention that our last show, we didn't give Willie Nylander enough love.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A few fans.
Willie was awesome. Willie was extremely good.
Willie is really good.
Go check out sportsnet.ca where I wrote an article, my 10 thoughts on the game. Willie is numero uno.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scores some big goals for them. And I thought, by the way, that's one thing I was going to say about the changes. Interesting last game, they started the Matthews line. Matthews and Marner changed 21 seconds into that first shift.
Yeah.
And that got on the next line, who was then playing against a tired line. They shot one in the net. So
William Nylander is tied with Kyle Connor and Mikko Rantanen for second place in the NHL's playoffs, scoring 1 point behind Connor McDavid right now. So he's been huge for them, and both coaches commented on Willie. I want to start with Berube. Clip three, please.
Attacking and, shooting a puck. Like, I mean, that's his game, right? And last couple games, he's been, when I see him with the speed, you know, and attacking with the speed, he's dangerous. And obviously his shot is dangerous. We all know that. But it's the speed and the pace he's attacking with for me.
There you go.
Yeah, every time he has the puck, it's like, I'm sure Panther fans are kind of holding their breath.
Yeah, the D back off an extra step.
And on the he had scored two. And on the power play, right before they went down and took the too many men, Nyes had a great screen. He was a centimeter from a natural hat trick in the first period.
He
is ripping the puck.
Matthew Nyes is a problem, guys.
Yes.
Like, if he looks like he has looked and we know like he can look, he is a handful for that Panthers team.
Let's listen to Paul Maurice on Willie as well, because he had a great clip today.
Well, his ability to control the puck and change angles, change directions is elite. There may not be anybody better at it than he is. So what he can do with the puck one-on-one is challenge one, but really it's players away from the puck then. He can beat a guy one-on-one, take it to the net for sure, but it's the ice created by his movement that allows the other players to get open with good hands and get to the net. So we would view him in that whatever the percentage is, the top five guys, the percentage of guys in the league, they all are something unique in their offensive game.
Yeah,
similar in effect with Kucherov, how he can get a puck off the wall to somebody open a whole bunch of different ways. That's the same idea. They're going to get theirs. He's going to generate. He just is. So you want to make sure you're not putting him in a position where you're feeding him.
Yeah, he can hit the seams
mm-hmm.
as well as a lot of guys in the league. Kucherov's maybe at another level on his on his own, but Willie can show double threat.
You know, Cooch had 144 points. Willie topped out at 98 or something. Like, that's just another level of guy. But, maybe at finishing, Willie right now you'd say is better at that element. This touch here on this one.
Beautiful pass.
Just really nice. One other thing on Knies, I just want to, you know, I mentioned before that clip that he has kind of found another gear. In the first 36, so leading up to January 1st and then after, I've got some stats on that. But after January 1st, 49 games played, 44 points. So that's, you know, way better than the 19 he had in the first half. Almost a point per game player since January 1st. And his hits went from 2.0 to 2.5 per game. Hits went up, points went up. 22 goals after January 1st.
Yeah.
He's a new gear here.
He is as important as anyone in that lineup right now, just from his physical presence and his ability to drive the net. Like, McMahon should be looking at him right now and I gotta try to keep up to that level right now.
Absolutely. And the one thing with Knies is he doesn't do it as consistently as the top guys who night in, night out are just, you know, contributors, but
still at 23?
He's 22. Oof.
22. He hasn't turned 23 yet.
No, not till the fall.
If you're watching on TV or YouTube, this backhand top, oh my God, that's so nice.
I mean, it's very hard to do what he does there.
Extremely. Yeah, it's almost as one motion, right?
I was saying, I don't know if I said it on air, but I was on the ice yesterday trying to replicate that, and I think, God, I almost broke my nose, toe-picked. It's not easy.
Yeah, don't try that at home.
If the Florida Panthers had fans, who do you think they would be most afraid of if they're going up to Toronto Maple Leafs?
You're so mean to Florida fans.
The 15 people will get after me on their subreddit. But
how is it not Matthews and Marner still? I know Willie's scary, but like...
Still Matthews and Marner?
How is it not? You know, at any moment, any touch, it can...
Yeah, I think that's probably correct.
Change.
Leafs got a lot of guys you should be afraid of. Before we get to Luke, just want to remind everybody, the golf fans out there, Sportsnet and Muskoka Bay Resort have come together with an amazing contest. Text the word Muskoka to 590-590 for your chance to golf at one of Canada's top 10 ranked golf courses with a night in an incredible 3-bedroom villa for you and your 3 friends. Just text Muskoka to 590-590 for your chance to win. Visit sportsnet.ca/590contest for more details. Standard message and data rates apply. There you go. Muskoka Bay Resort.
Looks beautiful.
And, boys, I got to tell you.
Granite.
Short sleeves for Kipper today. You got the long sleeves. I went short sleeves.
But she's thin here. What
a day today.
It is spectacular outside today in Toronto. City of Toronto. It's playoff season. You know, it's starting to get warm. You're supposed to be playing one of this morning. I wonder how the ice will be down at Scotiabank tonight. A little bumpy.
Full playoff mode.
Samuskevich draws in tonight.
Mackie Samuskevich draws in for AJ Greer.
He can shoot it in the net, too. Yeah.
He's effective for them.
We maybe get into it in Game Time International Hour, but I think you could do worse than betting on a Samuskevich goal coming into the lineup tonight.
Boy.
He rips it and he flies around.
Oh, boy.
So.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll get a feel from the rink with our very own Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee getting ready for game 2. We got Luke Fox. Luke. How are you, buddy?
Hey,
bumped into you? Luke this morning.
Yeah.
Right outside of Real Sports.
What are you up to that?
Real good. He looked super excited, picking up that vibe. Luke, how was the feel this morning going into game 2? I'm not going to say that our boy Sammy here doesn't have a good feel for game 2, but there is that guarded side of him. How do you feel like the Leafs are looking towards getting a huge, hand up here with another big win tonight?
Yeah, it would be massive. I mean, it would officially make this the longest run of the Matthews, Marner, Nylander era, right? Mm-hmm. Like they've never reached six wins and it's right there for them. You know, snatching a lead. You'd have to go back to the 90s before the Leafs had a 2-0 series lead in any round past the first round. So this would be huge. I mean, if you're Florida, you came here to get a split. That's still on the table. If the Leafs, you got to be wary that you're not going to see the same Florida Panthers team that came out in the first period of game one. They were putrid. They weren't ready to play. The Leafs took it to them. I thought it was probably, outside of the too many men penalty, probably the 20 best minutes of Maple Leafs hockey that they put together this season. I thought they were fantastic. You know, just taking a stranglehold of that game, putting the Panthers on their heels. They had to fight back the whole game. So if you can get a start like that again, and you're the Maple Leafs, then you're thrilled. I think there's been a lot of talk behind the scenes on a couple things. One is Joseph Woll. They spent some extra time at practice working on the breakouts with the defensemen. Anthony Stolarz is a really vocal goalie. There seemed to be an encouragement for more talk between Joseph Woll and the defenseman. We know how important breakouts are against the Panthers forecheck because they're so fast and fierce. That's their game plan. And the other thing is the power play. You know, it went under the radar a little bit because the Leafs won, but they went 0 for 5 on the power play.
Right.
It was so key in the Ottawa series. It needs to be critical again. They need to get a power play goal, I think, tonight.
So backing up tonight for Joseph Woll, which is a story unto itself that Woll's in the net, but Matt Murray is the backup. You know, I don't think he played a ton in the American League this year. Hildeby, Akhtyamov, these guys played a little bit more. What are we to make of Murray being chosen and what?
You're worried.
I'm a little, listen, if Woll gives up a couple early, do they have the option of going to someone else?
Yeah, the e-bug?
Yeah, that's him.
Well, it was kind of alarming, to say the least, when you saw Dennis Hildeby slide onto the Leafs bench in the third period. It was like a little alarm bell. Okay, we're one, you know, one dirty play or one bad performance from getting into your third, fourth stringers here. The decision to go with Murray is an easy one, I think, for Craig Berube. It's simple. Experience. The guy has cup rings. There's a calmness. He's played in the playoffs before. And even just noticing after morning skate this morning, Murray's like hanging around, chatting with a few reporters, chatting with Woll a little bit. Hildeby, you know, he's a prospect still. So when you see him behind the scenes, he's very quiet. He's reserved. He's like, I don't want to step out of line here. Murray, there's more of a comfortability around the teammates, between the coach, and I think the coach trusts the guy with experience. I think it's as simple as that.
You're watching and listening to Luke Fox, Leaf and NHL writer with Sportsnet.ca. So, look, we know what the Bennett talk in this series was like 24 hours later. Going into today, subsided much. The Leafs ready to put it behind them in terms of at least not letting it drag in. Obviously, it's not forgotten, and it won't be forgotten, but where is their mindset when it comes to Bennett going into game two?
Yeah, I think it's past them. I mean, if they have a chance to run them, and it's with between the whistles, for sure they're going to try and take a bound of flesh. I mean, we saw that with Ridley Greig in the last run. When there was a chance to nail that guy, you want to exact some revenge, but I've really been impressed by how the players have taken their cues from Craig Berube here. He's been very much, let's move past it. Let's focus on the win. You know, Scott Laughton put it best. He said the best revenge is to win the game. You know, Florida falls down two games heading home. Suddenly, all the pressure's on them. They came in as the favorites. They're the champs. And it's like, oh, we couldn't even steal one. We're a good road team, and we couldn't even get one on the road. So, you know, it seems like the players have bought into what Berube's selling, and that is, yeah, what he did was dirty. It was nasty. Anthony Stolarz may be done for the entire series. It's that serious. But we have to turn the page. We trust our other goalie. Let's hit them when we can. But let's not get dragged into the muck here. Let's win the game.
Luke, over the past three seasons, Sergei Bobrovsky has played 57 postseason games. which is a lot of extra hockey. His numbers were good a couple years ago in the playoffs. Last year, they were really good in the regular season, 915. Then okay in the playoffs. This year, just a 906 in the regular season and an 886. Getting tired? Is there any chance we get a less than perfect Bobrovsky?
Sure. There's a chance. I mean, I can't see him being as leaky as he was in game one. It's rare for this guy to give up five, Justin. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably headed to the Hall of Fame. You know, it was interesting. So after the game, you know, you do your interviews, you write your story. And I was walking down from doing a post-game hit. All the Panthers had cleared out. And there was Bobrovsky still at the rink, smiling, laughing with the trainers. He seemed very calm for a guy after a loss. I think he has great perspective. You know, maybe he was just walking back, going to walk back to the hotel because the bus had left. And He's just kind of on his own program. I think he's very good at bouncing back after a loss. The Leafs have to get to him. But I think it's a great sign for Toronto that they hung some numbers on him. I mean, You think about the 23 series, they could never get past two goals on this guy. That was the big thing. So for them to start feeling some confidence, hey, this guy's fallible, I think that's huge.
Think Matthews is feeling anything other than just snake bitten right now?
Yeah, it's got to be something, right, Nick? Like, the guy can't hit the net. It's really something. You know, he's generated his chances. He's doing all the right things defensively. He's been a beast in the faceoff dot. The effort's there, but the shot just doesn't have it. And, you know, even some casual fans, as I was playing beer league on the weekend, they're like, what's with Matthew's shot? And it you don't see that quick angle change, that pull and release that's just beating goalies clean anymore. He's missing, and maybe part of it's in his head. Maybe it's the mysterious upper body injury is still nagging at him. We know he had to miss a practice last week. So I bet there's a physical element to this, but he's not going to tell you what's going on.
Were you ripping it at Beer League? Is that why your buddies were reminded of Matthews losing the zip watching your shot?
No, I'm Matthew Knies without the hands. I just go in the crease and hopefully get a screen.
Bank one in off your leg or something like that. Hey, that's all you got to do sometimes. So a real strength of this Leafs team has been the defense shutting down the opposition in terms of not allowing a lot in front of the net, just good sticks all the way through. But it's been a real bright spot. They're creating some offense a little bit here. I know the Tanev one may be separate from that. Is this a sustainable thing? Is this, what are we missing? Why have they suddenly found offense from their defense here?
Well, I see them jumping up more. I've never seen Morgan, like, I think it's a snowball effect. I think they've been asked to. I know, like, halfway through the season, Craig Berube was looking at the numbers and seeing that they weren't generating much from those guys. I think maybe he tried to beat out some of the old habits out of them early and say, hey, we're playing a defense team. We're not going to sacrifice offense if it means giving up, or we're not going to go for offense if it means sacrificing defense. So I think they pulled back a little bit in the first half of the season. And then I think he was encouraging them to jump up a little bit more. And now that Morgan Rielly in particular has a couple goals, he's feeling more free to jump up in the rush. I thought he had some great chances in game one. You know, Simon Benoit in the previous series, Ekman Larson. So we're seeing these guys spot the holes where they can jump up, and they're doing it. And it's paying off. And the more it pays off, probably the more confident they feel about taking those chances when they're available.
Luke, enjoy game two, my friend, and we'll catch up soon.
All right. Should be a blast. Enjoy it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it.
Sportsnet.ca's Luke Fox. So,
I was at beer league last night, too. Hot.
I heard an OT win for the Zags.
Hot. It's awesome this time of year. Everybody's so excited to talk
about it. How's the zip on your shot?
Horrible. I've never scored a goal outside of 3 feet from the crease.
Muffin,
Kicked one in last night. And they
did they review it?
Nope. Didn't go upstairs. But the guys on the other team were like, oh, hey, are you on that podcast? You're on that podcast? I was like, yeah, you were really chirping me, eh? I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't pay league fees to not say anything to you.
That's great. Sammy, you wrote that the Panthers are 0-5 all time in best of sevens when falling behind 2-0 in a series.
I wrote that. I mean, I typed it, and
you didn't make the fact up.
NHL Public Relations has a great website, and they put up a bunch of stats and stuff, so that's where I get my stuff from, and yes, they put that up.
A win tonight takes you to the Leafs winning this series?
I mean, at that point, yeah. I mean, how could you think anything but? Like, they haven't, like, four or five games?
Pretty good stat.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but at the same time, you guys hate those kind of stats.
Yeah, no, like, I don't care about lifetime stats. It means nothing to me.
Especially, it's against the Leafs. Like,
no, but I care about two teams that go up 2-0 yeah. win a lot of the series. Yeah.
They're in a great position with a win tonight.
It really, if by chance they don't and it's 1-1, as long as it presents itself like a good hockey game for them, it's to me, it's all about how you win or lose, right? Instead of just losing. At 1-1, I think if they play a good game, give themselves a chance here, even if they lose in overtime, there's a lot for the Leafs to take to South Beach. Even at 1-1, but 2-0, I think convinces a lot of people that they will win this series.
I think it's going to come down to a number of guys. Can Pacioretty be as effective as last game? Can he be as physical and stay on that sort of thing? The first line, going to shoot one in the net. Can the Domi line be better? They struggled a little bit with that third line. Those are a couple of the key matchups. And
the Lawton line cannot be -3.
Right. Yeah. Lawton, Lorenz, Yarncroc needs a better effort, or you will see David Camp come game three.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, you got it. It's like Joseph Woll. It's like, this guy's a good player. Like, you're looking for a reason to get him in. Problem is, you keep winning.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Do you just try, like, a different version of the bottom six with the same guys that you have, as opposed to changing things up?
Like, it's probably Yarncroc.
Yeah.
They traded for Lawton and don't want to take him out. Lorenz is very effective and can score. He's like it's possible.
Yarncroc would be, I think, the easiest decision to make. Outside of that, you like Holmberg's size and his ability to protect the puck down low, make plays, take a big hit, and get right back up.
Domi can also just do something, you know, every few games he does something. You're like, well, no one else in the league.
He plays fast, too. Yeah. Max plays fast. Great example of bearing Matthew Tkachuk and then skating down and
not many guys in the
forcing
make that play.
Bob to make a big save. Matthew Tkachuk, to me, like, very quiet in game one.
No shots.
And the only thing we really saw out of him was going after Marner at the end of the game, which that was a little bush.
I spoke to our boy George in Calgary today. Love that show. Love those guys, Matt and George. And he asked me who I dislike more, Brady or Matthew. And it's just, there's no comparison between the two for me. I think Matthew is way more hateable than Brady is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Brady plays a much more direct, honorable game than Matt does.
I was going to say, I hear Brady more.
For sure.
But
way greasier, Matthew.
I despise Brady is that, like, dude.
10 times tougher
100%
than Matthew.
Bigger.
And plays tougher.
That carries a level of respect, too.
I respect his game way more. No comparison.
And, you know, Matthews plays a mean game, and he's willing to sink low at any cost to try to win. But, like, this guy is nowhere near as tough as his brother.
No. His PIMs per game have come down. His points per game have come down. He's 57 points in 52 games this year, which is good numbers. Yep. But, like, he's a really, really good hockey player.
He is, and he can hurt you offensively. He can make plays. He could...
Great around the net.
Power play.
But
he's dangerous.
Yep.
But you don't fear him the way you fear.
Well, we'll see if that offense wakes up. Tkachuk, Barkov, Reinhardt, Verhaeghe.
Score tonight.
Very quiet.
4-1 Panthers.
I'm going 4-3 Leafs in overtime.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what I was going to say. Exactly. 4-3
OT. Stick
there
with me, kid.
I will. There you go.
Stick with me, kid. All right. Get ready. Game two tonight. Don't move wherever you are. Just hang out on Sportsnet. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we go national. Oilers. Lots of talk about the Edmonton Oilers. We'll get into it with Jack Michaels, play-by-play man. And Sean Reynolds is the Winnipeg Jets.
Get her going. Don't go away.